You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Fourth and final hour here on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Titans, 49ers. Nissan Stadium, Thursday evening. A big one in town. Let's head out west. Let's learn a little bit about this team that's coming to town. That's won five out of their last six games. Bonte Hill, 95-7, the game out in San Fran, now joins us. Bonte, how you doing?
What's up? What's going on, fellas?
Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. I'll do anything for you guys out in Nashville. Come on now. Try to get out there. I wish I was coming to Nashville for the holidays, man.
Not coming? No?
Nah. Got this team called the Golden State Warriors. I got to do work for us, so they got some things cooking, man. You know, Thursday gets Memphis Grizzlies, and then Saturday gets Christmas. But I got to get out to Nashville. Ever since I saw the NFL draft kind of take place there and looking at the town, man, and for some reason, Nashville, out of nowhere the last 5 years, has become this destination to where people just want to go have fun. I'm like, man, I need to get in on that.
Really? Man, who are you talking to? We haven't heard that. So people are coming to drink and party? Really?
You guys out there. Hey, what's going on? That seems like a great time, walking in brick off the Nissan Stadium. I mean, I'd never been a Titans fan before, but, you know, it is what it is.
So what's going on with this 49ers team? About 7 weeks ago, we're like, cool, 49ers late in the season. That should be pretty. Well, I wouldn't say easy, but that should be a dub for the Titans. And now everything's changed. What's changed for San Fran?
Well, what changed is basically they stopped turning the ball over, and they got healthy. All right, George Kittle wasn't healthy for a few weeks. Deebo Samuel obviously missed a game. Trey Warner Jr. missed a game. But they were just making boneheaded mistakes, man. I mean, you think about losing to Colt McCoy in the Arizona Cardinals, where they just came out flat. And that was the story of the season, really, up until the Rams game on Monday Night Football. They were just getting up to slow starts. They're hanging around bad teams. They're losing to Chicago at the half, losing to, you know, barely hanging on, beating the Eagles, losing to Seattle. It was just it was a mess. If it wasn't special teams, it was defensive lapses. If it wasn't defensive lapses, it was bad Jimmy plays. And it was just that Monday night game against the LA Rams where they just kind of went back to their identity. So you know what? We're going to play smash mouth football. And they started playing smash mouth football that week against the LA Rams. They started playing it against the Seahawks again. And they've gone on this run here to where the formula they had in 2019 is starting to resemble itself. So I'm not saying they're going on a Super Bowl run or whatnot, but look, they're not turning the ball over. They overcome adversity, especially after last week. They fumbled the opening kickoff and thinking, here we go again. But they overcame that with strong, complimentary football, solid defense. So we'll see how good they are. This is a tough test for them. You know, the Falcons is one team. They're terrible, all right? Let me just say right now, Falcons stink, all right? They're terrible. Matt Ryan's cooked. We'll see how serious the 49ers are in January by playing this game tomorrow night or Thursday night because the Titans, that's a tough team.
Let me ask about a Nashvillian. So, Juwan Jennings, who we watched play at UT, I've really seen him kind of emerge a little bit here lately. What's been his role of late in this offense?
You know what? I don't know if Mohamed Sanu has emails on Kyle Shanahan or what, but he kept playing Mohamed Sanu for some reason. Everybody here is like, why are you playing Mohamed Sanu? He's done. You know, he's your third wide receiver. Why not play Juwan Jennings, who made a big play against the Eagles when the Niners went up at halftime. He scored that touchdown, caught a great pass in traffic. This kid, man, let me tell you, he's now emerging as a third-down receiver, kind of replacing Kendrick Bourne, who's moved on to New England. He is tough. He's physical. He's not afraid to scrap with other DBs. He gets into it. His run blocking is really, really good. And he makes critical plays. He had a good touchdown catch, you know, critical catch right before halftime against Minnesota a few weeks back in a had-to-have a game. You see him make plays last week. To watch things as a player, and we just wonder, like, Kyle Shanahan has this weird affinity to throw people into the doghouse for whatever reason. I don't know. Brandon Ayuk was in the doghouse. He said he wasn't practicing hard enough. Okay, whatever. So you're wasting snaps on Mohamed Sanu. Same thing happened with Jennings. For some reason, he couldn't get on the field. All of a sudden, you see him get on the field, and all he does is make plays, and it makes you scratch your head on why he wasn't on the field a lot more often earlier in the season. But I like this kid, man. He's a tough player. He's physical. He plays the right way. I like Juwan Jennings a lot.
And the other one is Nashvillian, yes, Monte, I said it, Nashvillian George Kittle, who lives here in the offseason. His family is here. George Kittle. He's been, man, boy, he looks like the George Kittle of old, doesn't he, especially the last three weeks.
He sure does. I mean, George Kittle, you think about the last 3 weeks, all right? Last week he has 6 catches for 90 yards, right? The week before against Cincinnati, he has double-digit targets, you know, 13 targets. And then against Seattle, he lights them up. George Kittle is playing like the best tight end of football. And we've been waiting on this. Like, you could say you're the best tight end of football, or people could claim you to be the best tight end of football. But until you produce in the passing game, look, he doesn't get paid nearly $20 million a season to just be a run blocker. That's all good and that's all fine and dandy, right, to crush people on the edge in a run game. But I need George Kittle to be an impact wide receiver. And when you look around the league at, you know, Travis Kelce, obviously, and Darren Waller with the Raiders, you know, Jody Smith, who you guys had going up to New England, Hunter Henry's now making plays for the Patriots. George Kittle's now making plays in the pass game again. And I think it's a great job by Kyle Shanahan to say, you know what, I'm going to diagram these plays. I'm going to make sure George Kittle sees at least 11 to 12 to 13, 14 targets a game. Because when he gets the ball in his hands, there are certain players who just set a physical tone, right? You guys see it all the time with Derrick Henry. When he sets the physical tone, it's contagious. It trickles out to the rest of the team, and all of a sudden it's a snowball effect to where everybody's balling out because the leader of your team is balling. Well, that's the same thing with George Kittle. When he gets the ball in his hands and he refuses to go down, and he's getting smacked by 4 or 5 defenders, and he still refuses to go down, those are tone setters. This guy breaks tackles. DBs don't want to tackle him one-on-one. Linebackers can't stay with him. So it's been very apparent, very important for the 49ers to get him involved, and he's been involved over these last 3 weeks, and it's a welcome sight.
Talking to Bonte Hill from the Morning Roast 95.7 out in San Fran in the Bay Area, previewing the 49ers-Titans game on Thursday. I want to ask you about Deebo Samuel. I've seen flickers before. I can remember like picking him up as a late pickup the last couple years in fantasy. He got hot there, but he's put it all together this year, that little hybrid move that they're doing as they use him as a runner. Where did that come from? Take us through the evolution of that.
Well, you saw it a little bit in 2019 where they started running jet sweeps with him, right? He's lined up out wide. He motions. As soon as the quarterback hikes the ball, quick little pivot, handoff to the wide receiver. And he really started cooking with that because Deebo Samuel, once you see him Thursday night, you guys are going to see his lower body's so thick. He's so strong down low. And he's a guy who likes to break a lot of tackles. And last year, they started implementing more of those jet sweeps. And they didn't really have them backfilled as much as they had this year, but they started giving him the ball in running situations to just get the ball in his hands because he's such a playmaker. And he finishes runs like a running back. He loves to lower his shoulder. He loves to try to inflict punishment. And sometimes you're thinking, man, Deebo, just go out of bounds, man. Preserve. On to the next play. But these guys want to inflict punishment. That's the problem with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, why they're always hurt, because they're looking to punish somebody. But this year, Shanahan is taking it to another level because, one, Elijah Mitchell, the rookie running back, sixth-round draft pick, has been banged up all season. Now, he's had a fine rookie season, but they didn't even get a running back. Jeff Wilson Jr. coming off a torn ACL injury, he's been out for most of the season. Trey Sermon, who they spent a third-round pick on, he just hasn't picked up the offense at all, so they've moved on from him. So Shanahan has thought, like, man, I need some juice in the backfield. I need a guy who could really run between the tackles, can really run hard. And Deebo Samuel has been that guy. And it's been a revelation for this offense. And when you think about it, think Percy Harvin. You know how Minnesota used Percy Harvin, how Seattle used Percy Harvin when he came out of Florida. He's in that same mold. And so you're starting to see other teams do it here. But really, the Niners are running out of running backs. They had no options. So it's kind of an accident that Deebo Samuel has been in the backfield so much because no running. One, Trey Sermon didn't step up. And then the other running backs are just banged up.
6.9 yards per carry for Samuel. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Bonte. You know, that plot, ever since the day that they drafted Trey Lance, people were wondering about how Jimmy Garoppolo would react. How would you evaluate his performance? His numbers look pretty darn good.
You know, I've had a love-hate relationship with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was Team Jimmy. Even when they passed up Tom Brady, I said, you got to keep Jimmy. I never wanted Kirk Cousins. I wanted Jimmy. But then they draft Trey Lance, right? And my thought process was this. If Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, then move on and get your quarterback. Move on. Because I watched this same regime pass up Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes for Solomon Thomas and take C.J. Beathard in the third round. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what are you doing here? Go get a quarterback. You know, you can't win this league without a quarterback. You guys know that. So Trey Lance gets drafted. I'm telling you, I go down to training camp, and Trey Lance looked phenomenal. He looked phenomenal. I know it's just practice, but he just looked phenomenal. The players around him reacted differently, and he gave the 49ers that deep threat ability, that guy who could stretch the field. Jimmy's the same guy. He's going to hit the 10 to 12-yard passes. He's going to dump it off. But the biggest thing with Jimmy is he's healthy, and he's not making mistakes. And for whatever reason, which when Jimmy's in this lineup, the 49ers win a lot more games than they lose. The guy's like something like 30-7 now as a starter. All right, and he's starting to get in rhythm. Him and Kyle Shanahan are in locksmith. I thought the growing up game against Cincinnati, going 6-for-6 in overtime, to steal that game in Cincinnati. And you got to give Jimmy credit for this, fellas. He's been a professional. All right, you see a guy drafted as your replacement, and about 70% of this fan base wants Jimmy out of here. They're tired of Jimmy. Hell, he gets blamed for Super Bowl 54, which is so unfair. It's beyond being unfair. But Jimmy has been the total pro this season. He's got this team in the right offense. His teammates rally around him. They love Jimmy. He's a great locker room guy. So, look, man, he's got experience playing in big games. You know, you can't scoff at 2019 when the Niners had a three-game stretch where they had to play the Packers, Ravens, and Saints. They came out of that stretch at 2-1. They go down a stretch and they win Seattle in week 17 in Seattle to get home field advantage. You can't scoff at a game like that from Jimmy G when he went 18-for-22 for 285 in that ball game. And the Niners hadn't won in Seattle since 2011. Jimmy Garoppolo has won a lot of big games for this organization. And I just got to say, his performance, look, the numbers, are they eye-popping? They're okay. They're fine. But the professional he's been, despite everybody wanting him replaced, despite all the trade rumors, despite a Mike Florio report from Pro Football talk about Jimmy is scared and Shanahan wants to trade him and yada, 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 yada. Jimmy's been just fine, man. He's played his best football here over the last 5 weeks.
Talking to Bonte Hill. Okay, so what needs to happen in the, you know, down the stretch? Obviously, let's assume they make the postseason. What does he need to do to maybe get people to think, all right, well, it wouldn't be bad for Trey Lance to maybe sit another year, because John Lynch and Shanahan, you know, they're obviously cut from the old school cloth. Kyle saw what his dad did as a coach in the league. Is there some thought there, or is it a foregone conclusion that after this year, no matter what happens, Trey Lance is a starting quarterback?
You know, the owner came out, Jed York, right after the draft and said, you know, we're going to have no problem sitting Trey Lance for 2 years. And I'm thinking, that's crap, because Jimmy Garoppolo is making $26 million a year. Now, if you hear talking to certain people around the organization, if Jimmy was to come back, he'd have to take a massive pay cut. He's not coming back here, you know, at $26 million, $27 million a season. It's not happening. So would he be willing to take a massive pay cut? Now, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, you're saying, look, you guys have played games with me all this time. You flirted with every quarterback in the world. You've quarterbacks probably in this AFL, they try to replace me. No, I'm not taking a pay cut. So then you ask yourself, okay, what does Jimmy have to do to reclaim the starting job next season? One, he'd have to take the pay cut and compete for the starting job. It's not happening. But for the fan base to really believe in Jimmy, accept him being back and having Trey Lance sit another year, he'd have to win the Super Bowl. Point blank, period. He'd have to win the Super Bowl. Nothing short of winning the Super Bowl could possibly make people kind of flip over and change their opinions on Jimmy Garoppolo. It just wouldn't happen. And you think about Trey Lance. He hasn't played football in nearly two seasons. All right, he played one little scrimmage last year during the pandemic season of college football, and that's it. And then you have him sitting this year, and you would possibly have him sitting next year. I don't see how he gets better in today's day and age by sitting all that time. He needs to play. He needs the reps. He needs to play. And I think the locker room overall understand that this is a business. And at $26 million a year, is Jimmy that much better than Trey Lance? Like, the way we think about it out here is, where would the Niners' record be if Trey Lance was the starting quarterback? 7-7? 6-8? Because they run the football a lot, and there's a lot of short, deep, and dunk passes. So I find it really hard to believe that Jimmy's going to be back at quarterback next season. Now, if he wins the Super Bowl, man, it makes for some great content out here in the Bay Area, that's for sure. And all of a sudden, you're pulling to Philadelphia where, you know, you're possibly moving on from Nick Foles to go to Carson Wentz. And next thing you know, 2 years later, Carson Wentz is in Indianapolis, and Nick Foles is a backup somewhere. So it would take a lot for Jimmy back.
Okay, well let me add more content. What if a certain quarterback that's playing in Wisconsin and a Northern California native is all of a sudden available? Does that change anything, or is it still they've moved on?
Dude, I don't think they moved on. I think they would look for suitors for Trey Lance. Honestly, when that report came out this past on draft day, right before the 2021 NFL draft, I was on there saying, you know what, make the move for Aaron Rodgers, even if he's only playing for 4 years. Make the move. Get the proven quarterback. You never know what's up Shanahan's sleeve. I do think they want to develop Trey Lance. He's on that rookie contract. You got some wide receivers who are young and active, and Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. You still have George Kittle there. They think about it. I just don't think it'll happen because they'd have to pay. Think about what they're paying Jimmy Garoppolo. Think about what you're going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers. He's going to want $40 million a year, and you're going to have to try to find a suitor. Trey Lance, and are you going to get a first-round pick for Trey Lance? That's a lot of draft compensation they gave up for Trey Lance in the first place. I think that ship has sailed. I think it's sailed. I think they think about it. They do their due diligence, but I think that ship has sailed.
Gives you something to talk about for sure. Bonte, appreciate the time. It's good to talk to you again.
Absolutely, man. It should be a monster game Thursday night. Titans, Niners, we've been looking forward to it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. We're not mad at the fact that Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry probably won't play. We're not going to complain about that out here.
No? Well, A.J. Brown, we'll see.
I think there's a chance.
We'll see.
There's a chance for A.J.?
There's a chance.
We got to watch Josh Norman play quarterback every week. So take it easy on us. Tell A.J. Brown to sit it out, man. The AFC South is wrapped up. Doesn't need to play this Thursday. Get an extra week of rest. Let's chill.
Appreciate it, Bonte. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Bonte Hill, 95-7, the game in San Francisco. Titans 49ers coming up Thursday.
Fun.
Yeah, oh, he's always fun. Personality, which you got to have that, sports radio. So always fun.
Would that not be scary if Aaron went to San Fran?
Imagine? It would be. I mean, with the pieces they have. Because, listen, we didn't really ask him about it. I think he's a pretty good little receiver. I liked him out of Arizona State. Too, so he's starting to come into his own. You put him
with Kittle,
yeah, oh yeah. I think they got Samuel, Ayuk, Kittle.
That defense with Shanahan,
because I mean he knows that offense. Shanahan and
right
the offense he's in very similar.
Mm. Scary.
I think he's right though. I mean I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, probably so. I don't even know how you make it work. I mean, you'd have to dump Garoppolo. You'd probably have to have Lance in the deal.
Well, Garoppolo's easy.
Is easy to get out after this year?
It's according to SpotRack, $1.4 million dead cap.
Oh, okay.
So that's easy.
So you move on from him. I guess Lance would have to be a part of the deal. I don't know. I mean, I don't know their cap situation and what things they would have to do, but. Doesn't matter, man. You're getting the proven. You're getting the proven guy. The proven commodity that we already said. You don't have to be perfect. Those guys, you don't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to fall into place. Those guys make everybody better. So.
Yeah, I mean, you look at your hand and you really, really like it. You go all in. That's what you do.
Yep. Mm. Wow. Looks like there's some news on the Olympic front when it comes to the NHL players. Also, Mike Vrabel has spoken about this game on Thursday night, so we'll get to all that stuff on the other side. But first, you've got a word about BetMGM.
I sure do, and the 7 days of parlays. BetMGM is celebrating the holidays by delivering parlay presents to every day for a week. From December 19th to December 25th, BetMGM customers can unwrap free bets and risk-free wagers when they place a one-game parlay. Plus, there are plenty of parlay boost tokens and other bonuses under the tree. If you're a sports fan, you're automatically on the nice list at the King of Sportsbooks. Not yet registered for BetMGM? All you need to do is sign up on the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com to enjoy a piece of holiday action. Get in the holiday spirit with 7 days of parlays at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Thanks, Jordan. Hey, you should go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. This week, a new deal is Downtown Dollars, $150 digital gift card for $100. The gift card is redeemable at hundreds of downtown Nashville shops, restaurants, and more. With Downtown Dollars, you get more to spend at the old favorite and or discover one of the new destinations in downtown. You know, there's new things cropping up all the time downtown. Check out Nashville's best deals at thegamenashville.com/deals. Good stuff there from Monte Hill. Learning about this 49ers team. Speaking of that, Nate on Twitter.
I was just about to read that.
Tweets at us and says, lock this pick. This is his lock. Juwan Jennings, anytime touchdown, Thursday. I don't think that's crazy. We know he's played high school in Rutherford County.
Yep.
Played for the Vols.
I interviewed him on that field.
Really?
After the Music City Bowl. Mm-hmm. When he was here with the Vols.
Very nice. So it'll be his first touchdown in the NFL at home.
Let's see. I doubt they have the – well, they might have those up. Let's see. No.
I'm with Nate. I think that's actually a smart
play. I wanted
play.
To see the odds on it.
Yeah, I wonder what it is.
Yeah, they don't have – on BetMGM, they don't have them up yet.
Okay. Probably tomorrow, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah. We'll keep close tabs on that. Nate, we don't disagree. It looks like it is official out there. But, you know, it's not you know, to think that this wasn't going to happen, I mean, come on. I get it. They wanted to go, but just – circumstances have changed. But the NHL has pulled out of the Olympics in Beijing. So no surprise there, but it's just now official. I've been basically trying to soften the blow since last week, trying to get everybody prepared for this because I knew it was going to happen. It just had to, unfortunately. It did. Now they're going to have to use some of that that time frame, not all of it, but I don't know what you need to make up the games.
Easier.
Yeah, you're going to need to use that window. They're still going to give them time off. They're prepared to have 3 weeks off. They're not going to get 3 weeks off now, but they'll get some time off, and then they'll have to use the rest of the window to try to make up these games. I mean, currently, right now, the Predators have 5 games to make up. 5. That's not leading the league. There are teams that have more to make up. So there's a lot of games to make up, and you don't want to shorten the season, do you, players?
No.
You want those checks, don't you? And you don't want to be slapping that at the end because already they go to the end of April. You don't want to be going into half of May before you start your playoffs, right? No. Definitely don't want that. So be curious to see. By the way, Ryan Tannehill said he is hopeful A.J. Brown can return. So, I don't know.
I think he's playing.
I agree. It looks like all signs are pointing towards him returning Thursday. I don't think there's any doubt about that. By the way, per our discussion to end the last hour, a former player on offense who played in the NFL for a long time was listening to our discussion. His words, Tom Brady, this team would have 2 more wins with Tom Brady. Same roster.
I agree with that, and I agreed with him.
I'm not the messenger. I'm just the messenger.
No, I know. Actually, I was the messenger.
Well, you're the messenger. that's what was said. I'm saying it's not my words.
No. I said to him, I think they beat Pittsburgh this weekend because – and then I – actually, what's funny is that the discussion spilled off air. Ryan and I were talking about it, and he made a good point. Brady doesn't fumble the snap. That's something he doesn't do. So Brady doesn't fumble the snap. And, you know, if some of the other turnovers, you know, you never know how that would go. But I think he holds on, he beats Pittsburgh, and then either the Jets or the Texans, one of those other games that they lose. But I still, and the reason I brought it up is I've had this question in my mind for a couple of days, is I still think there would have been struggles without a solid supporting cast like he has in Tampa. Even with some of those players out in Tampa, is still better than what they have here. I mean, Antonio Brown is about to probably – I was, you know, listening this morning. Antonio Brown's probably about to try and get another payday.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in his mind, he probably thinks, oh, cool, I'll ball out the rest of the year and then parlay that into another contract.
Sure.
Which he might.
He's thinking that. Yeah. Why wouldn't he? He's been very successful this year. What small windows he's been on the field. He's been highly successful. Why wouldn't that continue? I don't know. I don't know why it wouldn't.
But, I mean, you got Brown, you got Gronk.
We'll see what the injury is to Evans. I mean, it's concussion, right?
I believe so. And then Fournette.
Yeah, I mean, Fournette's what was Fournette's injury? Was it concussion too? I don't remember what Fournette. I don't remember what he did. No, hamstring. I think Fournette was hamstring. I think it was hammy. Yep. All right, let's hear. Mike Vrabel just spoke to the media in preparation for their game Thursday night against the 49ers. Let's find out what the head coach had to say.
Mike, what's the biggest challenge? Three games left and trying to control your destiny at this point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we haven't been caught up in how many games we have left. We kind of just keep preparing for the next opponent. That's been our mindset. It's been my mindset as a coach. Hopefully something we focus on today on how we can just improve and things that we can do to help our team today.
Players who were activated to get to practice after being on injured reserve. Yep. What do you pay attention to during the week? What do you watch?
Well, I think this week's going to be a little bit different. Is that kind of what you're kind of alluding to? It's a little different week.
Those guys, what are you looking for to see if they're ready to go?
Yeah. Okay. You know, I mean, I think on a normal week, it's, you know, you get an opportunity to go out there and either, you know, rush the passer. You can set up, you know, pass rush drills. You can set up, you know, 7-on-7, they can go out there and they can practice, right? And then this week I think is a little bit unique. So, you know, for some of those guys, you know, we'll probably may have to manufacture, you know, some of the stuff to get them some speed. But, you know, really like where we're at with Todd and Frank and their staff. And Brian Bell really does a lot of that work as far as the return to play coming out of the weight room. So that's always something that we've really taken a lot of pride in. And, you know, like I always mention, unfortunately, we've gotten pretty good at it.
Back in the flow of things, and what can you see from him on a short week that would convince you he's okay to play?
Well, some of those, you know, I mean, he'll have to go out there, and he's been, you know, working with the trainers and the strength staff and, you know, looking at conditioning and obviously, there, you know, updates and how he responds to the work that he's done. So, you know, he'll be with us in, you know, in a jog-through capacity today. And then I'm sure he'll do some stuff, you know, a little bit faster.
What's going on with COVID and all right now? Do you approach that like as a coaching point where you say, hey, look, if we do this better than other teams, it can give us a competitive advantage potentially?
Well, yeah, I think our first emphasis is always just trying to make sure that everybody's safe and staying as healthy as we can and taking care of our families and our team. And, you know, but I think that's, you know, certainly realistic. To look at it that way, the more people that you can have available, it probably gives you a better chance.
Coach, I don't know how much you know about specifically, but the targeting when it comes to the testing, could that at all give a disadvantage to a team if they targeted testing your quarterback and not the other quarterback? I don't know the specifics exactly of that, but maybe you do.
From what I can understand, I think that there's, you know, it's a pretty random deal. No different than they would the PED testing. You know, anybody that's in a tier one or tier two player or staff kind of gets thrown in, and then, you know, they pull out a probably hopefully random generated number, you know, test based on symptoms and everything else.
Coach,
know each turnover kind of has its own story, so to speak, but is there like a common theme in the fumbles, a common theme in the interceptions that you're seeing, you know, over the last 4 weeks?
Sometimes poor ball security. Quarterback center exchange. It gets kicked. The quarterback's going to pick it up. It gets kicked. The ball, I told the team, the ball's not round. We don't know which way it's going to bounce. We got to do everything we can to take care of it. Sometimes they make a good play. Sometimes, you know, it's our own doing.
Guys maybe sometimes are trying to press, trying to do too much. I know you're big on telling guys just to do their job. Do you find that guys maybe sometimes are trying to do too much in those situations?
Like gain yards? I'm not sure what you're talking about. That
just trying to make a play and
just,
you know,
ask me which one you're talking about and I'll explain it, because I can go through them. And you know, Ferkser catches a pass on third down, drop steps, ball's loose, they knock it out. You know, Racy's coming around trying to get a catch and run. He's on top of the guy. You know, Ryan and Ben are always trying to make a play that the ball went on the ground. So, I mean, we can keep going. I don't know if that's making a play or not. Like, just poor ball security.
You guys have been talking a lot about the defense outplaying the opposing defense. How did that kind of come to be a theme? And are you telling the offense the same thing, that the offense has to outplay the other offense?
Which one do you want me to answer first?
Both, please. How did the defensive thing come to be a theme?
I don't, because that's the way I would explained it and try to, focus that week. And you know, when I think that, it'd be a challenge for our defense. It's something that you probably want to do all the time. You know what I mean? I think it's just a mentality, and I appreciate where our mentality is right now defensively. To go out there and stop them wherever the ball is. That's just kind of what you have to do, and I think that's the hallmark of the best defenses, is they can go out there, they hop up off the bench. I mean, it sucks. It sucks when you turn the ball over. I've been out there as a player and watching it as a coach, and our guys didn't flinch. They ran out there. You know, hopefully they don't have to do that, and hopefully we can find a way to get some turnovers ourselves.
Is the offensive mentality the same? Or
the offensive mentality is to score as many points as we can and try to take care of the football.
What has made the Niners' run game so efficient, no matter who they're plugging in there?
It's a really good scheme. I think that the offensive line does a great, you know, fantastic job. They're well coached. I think that their tight ends block well. You know, they're very sudden players. Juice Check is a sudden player who can work his way one way, come back the other way, is willing to block. He acts as a runner, you know, like he has the football, and so he's kind of finding the hole. They mix in Samuel, you know, Mitchell, Wilson, good scheme. They attack you at all different levels, zone, gap scheme, misdirection. So they do a fantastic job.
How big of an asset is Deebo Samuel for all the different ways that they do use him?
I mean, he's a very physical player who's a strong runner once he has the football in his hand, and you know, Kyle and his staff do a fantastic job of creating those and getting them the football.
Buffalo's success, his play, been a part of the reason they've won 5 out of 6.
Well, he's taken care of the football. He's been accurate. Seems to be in command of everything that they're doing, and he's playing well. He's got a very good completion percentage, and they're number one in the red zone.
Fred Warner, what jumps out to you about him in the middle of their defense?
It's tough to trick guys like that. You know, it's tough. You know, I mean, he's really seen a lot, and it's tough to trick him. You know, he's rarely out of place. Is a sure tackler. He's a good blitzer. They put him, you know, involve him in third down. Very versatile player, and he can run.
With David, I guess David Long missed a number of weeks and hasn't gone IR. Is there advantage to keeping him on the 53, or how does that?
No, I mean, I just, you know, kind of you get down the road where you think that you know, not putting a timeline on any injury, you're not really sure, you know. So, we've been able to, manage the roster, without having to put him on an injury reserve.
You
6 weeks is a significant marker for the kind of surgery that Derek had. Has he transitioned into a different sort of stage now?
Still just rehabbing.
Like you mentioned, you're going to see AJ out here and see where he's at. Where's your feel on at this point, your optimism for Thursday?
I'm optimistic on all these guys that, enter into the return to play. Now see how they respond to what we ask them to do. It's a difference to go out there and practice as it is to go out there and, be in the game. But, using, Bud as an example last week, he had a good week of practice and I think built confidence and, was able to help us on Sunday.
He respond after the game and, your work you did yesterday.
I mean, he was excited and, he was into it and helped us on Sunday. Now, we'll have to new challenge this week, new opponent.
How did Julio feel yesterday, and is he kind of in the same spot as those guys returning to play, or where would you put him right now?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how he does in practice and, what he's able to do, and we'll probably take it down to game time.
Has there been a secret to the success of being able to get guys in here on the fly, like Cunningham last week and like Foreman and Hilliard a few weeks ago, screen and getting those guys up to speed quickly and they're able to make big contributions?
Well, I mean, I think it helps to have guys that are, willing and hungry. Deontay, Dontrell, and Buster were out of work. So it's called survival. They've tasted and they wanted to be active. They didn't have a job. So now that they've got one, they're not in a real big hurry to give it up. But they worked extremely hard. The coach, give the coaches credit, but obviously it's on the player to go out there and be able to translate all those meetings and the walkthroughs and the things that we do to get them ready, to translate it to the game.
Do we have much pace today, or is it pretty much a walk week?
There won't be much pace.
Consistent. I did it again today, talking about how family safety is important with the COVID. Is this new policy, is that as effective, protecting family, protecting people outside than the previous?
Oh, I don't know if the any policy is going to protect us or our families. That's not for me to decide. I think the decisions that we make personally and as a family would be what would protect everybody. That's always been our focus and trying to do the best job. There's a speed limit, but that doesn't protect anybody from accidents. So, I think driving the speed limit and being cautious protects you. I don't know. It's something everybody's dealing with. You guys are dealing with the same thing. We've had everybody, not everybody here, but people here affected and have had it. So we just worry about those and family members and the players and, everybody seems to be reporting symptoms when they have them, and we test and we go through the protocols just like we're supposed to.
With a guy like George Kittle, difficult guy to get down, how do you get him down?
It just, you swarm. I used the other day as an example. We had 3 missed tackles on 1 play on defense and they gained a yard. Guys were running. And so, you don't love the 3 missed tackles, but you love the swarm in which guys were running. So we're going to need to get as many people to the football as possible. He's very good with the football. He's an excellent player. He's speed, catch radius. He's a very good player.
What do you think about Shanahan 49ers zone scheme and maybe how you try to defend that on a short week, them running the ball?
Stopping the run comes down to the same thing every week. Set the edge, build a wall, and swarm.
There you go, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking to the media here on this Tuesday before Thursday night's game at Nissan Stadium against the 49ers. That press conference sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can call them at 615-663-6040. We'll come back and talk about some things we just heard there to wrap up Tuesday's show. But first, I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA, and they've got a gift for you right now that'll get you in the holiday spirit. New customers can bet just $5 of their own on any NBA team, and you can win $150 in free bets if they win. Yeah, that's right. That's all you have to do. $5 on any NBA team, and if they win, you win $150 in free bets. All DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get in on the Christmas spirit with the holiday free bet surprise. Everyone will get a free bet up to $50 instantly as DraftKings gives away up to $10 million in prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use that code 1025GAME and bet just $5 of your money on any NBA team. And if they win, you win $150 in free bets. That's how it works. Use that code again, 1025GAME, this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-97. Close, but not yet, Jim. We were in Gallatin on Friday at Newton Nissan. Newton Motor Group and Uffs at ESPN 102.5 The Game have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls from Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and our community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of their four locations. They have the one in Gallatin we were at on Friday and three in Shelbyville. And so to help us achieve the goal of getting shoes for 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness, just go do a test drive. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you've got to the end of the month, go do a test drive at any of the Newton Motor Groups. Like I said, they got four locations, three in Shelbyville and one in Gallatin. And they will make a donation every time a test drive happens. For more information or to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Speaking of, where will we be tomorrow?
We are going to be at Mercedes-Benz of Music City.
Not a bad place to hang for 4 hours tomorrow.
I was just telling Elijah, because we got to talking about Nick Saban, and so I was just telling Elijah about, I think it was the grand opening of Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and I was there, and Nick Saban was doing an event, and he, he did like a media session, so it was me, Mike Organ, a couple of the TV stations, and was very, it was very laid back, very low key. It was in the off season. And he, after he was done, he walked up to each person and shook their hand and, thanked them for being there. And I said, because I had told Floyd that, I was going to do that. And he said, well, tell Nick that I said hi and to tell Miss Terry hi. And so I passed on the message and I said, yeah, Floyd's told me some fun stories about you guys back in the day. And he laughs and he goes, yeah, but I bet he hasn't told you all of them. I got some good ones. And he laughed and he walked off. So that was I've been in there a couple times since then, but that was the first time at Mercedes-Benz Music City.
Well, there's no doubt D-Mace and I would talk to him. We had several conversations with him down at SEC Media Days, as you know. Down in Hoover, and he was gracious enough to come over and sit down at our table and do interviews with us. We couldn't get Tennessee's football coach on, but gosh, we got the biggest name in college football to come over there and sit down at our table and talk to us. But I brought up that dealership, of course, in Nashville, and of course, they come to Nashville a lot, and what it means to him and how much his father, right, how much his father meant to him, and I know a lot of what they do there. He talked a lot about things that he's dedicated to his dad at that Mercedes dealership.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a big reason why he's involved. So
that's right. That's right.
It's funny. Like Elijah, when I was telling him about that, he's like that. Wow. Like he seemed like laid back and he can be, he's an intense coach. And when it comes to business, he's all business. But I mean, if you've watched Eli's places on ESPN Plus, I mean, he's his guard's down and he's a normal guy and he's out on the boat and, having a good time. So,
Speaking of, should we be worried? It seemed like head coach was in a pretty tolerable mood today. Not irritable at all. It seemed like he had some patience today.
I wouldn't say not irritable at all.
No?
I tweeted this, but I told Elijah too, like on the Derrick Henry, that when he was asked about Derrick Henry, I could tell he was little irritated.
What? But you're not going to. I mean, what do you expect? He's not going to tell you anything.
I know, but if
you ask that question, you know you're going to get nothing.
Correct. He would prefer that you not ask the question.
Okay.
And so I said I'm waiting for the day, because, you know, they teach you in school, don't ask yes or no questions. I'm waiting for the day that he gets asked an open-ended question, and he just goes, nope, and that's all he says. Like, I'm just – I would lose it if he did that. Like, but I'm waiting for that. So I wouldn't say he wasn't irritable. He was maybe a little more tolerable than he has been.
Okay. Chiefs have put Tyreek Hill on their COVID list.
Kelsey's on there too, right?
He is.
That's not good.
Not good. Little outbreak with the Chiefs right now. That'll do it for our show today. You have a great rest of your Tuesday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.